Hello, welcome to the What in the World is Dyscalculia podcast. I'm Dr. Honora Wall, and I am your host for the podcast. What in the World is Dyscalculia is promoted, sponsored, put on by EduCalc Learning. So you can visit www.educalclearning.com for more information about Dyscalculia or check out the nonprofit Dyscalculia Training and Research Institute. That's an easier one. www.thedtri.org. And we're happy to give as much information about the math learning disability as we possibly can. And today in the podcast, I'm doing something a little different that I'm super excited about. And I have someone here to talk about dyscalculia with us. Katie Walker is fantastic. And we've been talking a lot in the last year or so about what we both do in the field of dyscalculia. And just exciting things that are happening. And I'm hoping that she will be a guest with us quite frequently because she has some really great information. Katie, please tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Thanks so much, Dr. Wall. I'm really glad to be here myself. And I just, it's exciting to me to have anybody else talking about what we're talking about because more people need to be talking about dyscalculia. So I'm glad to be here. Again, Katie Walker, I was a former teacher for a long time, and I have been a tutoring business owner for a couple of years. So I have a business called Dyscalculia Tutoring, and you can find us online at DyscalculiaTutoring.com. We're also on Instagram, Dyscalculia underscore tutoring. And you can check out our content that we put out there as well. But we have some really high quality intervention type tutoring available through our services. We have a great team and very happy to be here talking more about this learning difference because I just the more everywhere I go, the more people I talk to, the better, because there it needs to be better known out there in the world.
That is absolutely true.
So, what do you want to talk about today, Dr. Wall?
Well, I was thinking, it's interesting to me. There's very few of us at this point in time in the United States who are really out there in the forefront. I'm sure there are a lot of people out there that we haven't heard of yet. And if you're one of those people, you can email either Katie or myself because we would love to talk with more experts in the field. We've been doing this a long time. But we had very different paths for how we got here. And I think that people who work in this space took very strange routes. And if they're not in the space yet, but they know they need to be, how can they look ahead? So I thought we would talk about how we got here, how this whole thing happened. So why don't you talk a little bit about your journey from the beginning of your career in education to today?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was going to be a scientist, and I decided that I didn't want to be a scientist because I'm much more of a people person than the science route that I was going to end up in, sitting writing computer code. So I decided to be a math teacher because I always used to always help my friends with math. So I was like, I like helping people with math. I'll do that. So I added a degree at my undergrad level. I kept my science degree but and finished it, but I added a math education degree. And then I went to grad school and got a master's in math edu in secondary math education. Graduated from that in 2005. So University of Washington 2004, Harvard Graduate School of Education in 2005.
Nice.
And then went into thank you went into public school teaching high school math. And taught for a few years in a variety of different contexts. I've worked at a bunch of different schools, from big public schools, small charter schools, medium-sized public schools, and have done a little bit of work in independent schools recently, mostly public schools in my career. But, went through this undergrad degree, went through my master's, and kind of got dished always the kids who really struggled and then the top flyers. I never really taught the middle. Like I always sort of taught like the super advanced taking, pre-calculus as a sophomore and the kids who had failed Algebra 1 in 8th grade and were being asked to take it again in 9th grade. And so just always kind of was curious about kids who learn differently, really passionate about everyone is able to learn math. I firmly believe everyone can learn math. We just have to figure out how. And so that was my like personal passion and kind of trying lots of things that didn't work. And then taught for a long time. Decided after a while that I wanted to actually coach teachers. So I went back to school again for my third math education degree. Couldn't get enough school.
As one does,
And
right?
I got a Certificate of Advanced Graduate Study, also known as a CAGS, to those people in the education world. It's basically like the prereqs to a PhD, but you don't go on to the PhD part of it, the dissertation part of it. And I did that through Math for America, which is a great organization that promotes kind of research-based practices for general math learning, but not necessarily like learning differences math learning, and inquiry and exploration. And that was great, but then I decided I didn't actually want to be a coach. And so eventually started my tutoring business because I needed to make some more money. And that's actually where I got thrown into the world of dyscalculia. So
You
I
know, I'm going to
probably,
pause
yeah,
you
go
right
ahead.
there, but make a note because I want to come back to that. I just for
Yeah.
keeping both of our tracks, I'm going to do a little bit of mine, and then we'll both pick up again on those first dyscalculia math students.
Yeah.
Because I love your journey, and I'm going to tell you, just come along to the dissertation part. Jump on in, the water's fine.
I know enough people who've done it. I don't need it. No, thank you.
It is a little bit of a journey. I guess it's misery loves company is the jump on in the water is fine, but it is a fun process too. So mine was very different. I had a bachelor's in business and I was working in nonprofits and loved fundraising and volunteer management and thought I would stick with that. And very long story short, I was displaced by Hurricane Katrina and I found myself in a new town, a new state, needed a new career, and was volunteering at my kid's school while we acclimated. And the teacher said, "Oh, you really should be a teacher." And I said, "You are insane. That is absolutely not going to happen." But like I said, I also needed to pay some bills and make some money. So I thought, all right, well, let me work as a classroom assistant. Let me try this out. And got into an alternative certification program where I did go do some coursework at Nova in South Florida, which was great, and use that towards certification. To become a teacher, thought that I was going to go into the second grade classroom and was hired. And then they said, "Oh, we actually want you to teach middle school math." So I was not expecting that.
It's a little different.
I know I was a little panicked, and they just gave me three textbooks and said, "You have the whole summer to get ready. You'll be fine." Okay. And I think for a lot of people in that alt cert process that happens. And I think a lot of our teachers even who go through traditional programs, once you get into the field, there's a need that the principal puts you somewhere else. And it could be within your content area or a totally different content area. And there's a little bit of that fish out of water feeling. So I taught middle school math, but some kids were remedial level, some kids were algebra one and geometry level. Mine were mostly charter schools. That I taught it. So public, but not quite terribly huge. And then some independent private schools and tutoring agencies that worked with homeschool students. So I had a lot of different exposure to curriculum paths and materials and how do you put something together to meet standards in either a traditional or a make it up on your own kind of way. I ended up having a lot of patience for kids who were struggling with math.
Yeah, same.
And that got the referral system going, or then they would put me in a classroom that needed
Exactly.
something different. But that was I had really no exposure to neurodiversity, anything that fell under a neurodivergent cap. I had never heard of that term. I just thought people were struggling, so you just explain it to them again, and then they're going to get it, and you practice it a few times, and then, there's butterflies and rainbows, and everything is fine. And it was the more I worked with struggling students, the more I got more intensely struggling students who, in hindsight, probably had dyscalculia. But it was a while before I really heard the term and it became a little more official. So let's go back to you when you were like, okay, now here's a thing that is a brand new word and I need to know what it is. What happened with you there?
Yeah, so there was a lot of self-reflection about like all the students, like you're saying, that I'd had in the past. And I'd had students with, I knew they had dyslexia, or I knew they had dysgraphia, or I knew they had working memory issues, processing speed issues, had seen people diagnosed probably with a specific learning disability in the area of math, which now I've learned is like another way of naming dyscalculia. But
Water or H2O.
right,
That's what
exactly. It's
those
the
are. Yeah.
same, but like I didn't know. And then I think it's tricky because now we're calling it different things and people don't understand like what it is. So, but as a tutor, my second student that I ever got turns out had a whole host of challenges, including working memory, muscle tone, like
Okay.
hypotonia, I believe is what it's called. He had like, so he had a lot of trouble with physically with writing. Got diagnosed with dysgraphia, but I don't know if it was really dysgraphia or if it was just like his inability to like actually physically create things, and dyscalculia. So at that point, started doing research, to say, okay, what is this thing? I've never heard of this. How is it that I've never heard of this? I have three secondary math education degrees. Where did what happened? How did I not get training on this? And so to me, that was a really big red flag of like, how is this? What's happening here? And started to do some research and found that it's hard to find. It's gotten a lot better in the last 5 years, 4 years, but it's really hard to find. So then I started, doing research, reading books, finding, what resources I could from England mostly, because the UK has much more, some in Australia as well. But then I was like, where are the US-based people? And then as I kind of got into the neurodiversity, specifically making friends with other tutors, mostly who are dyslexia tutors who had some math training, because many students with dyslexia also struggle with math. So then that's where I really started getting exposed to this neurodiversity world that you were talking about. What about you? Tell me a little bit about your experience kind of moving forward.
Mine was very similar in that I was teaching in the classroom. I also had a lot of tutoring students, and a colleague at the small private school I was at was Orton Gillingham trained dyslexia tutor. And she came to me, she said, I know that you're comfortable with math. I am not. I'm not interested in it at all. And I have this student with dyslexia who also has this other thing I can't pronounce, and it's math. And can you work with her? And I said, oh yeah, absolutely, sure. Let's jump in. And then I thought, well, I wonder if I should look this thing up. What is it? And it was like looking across a vast desert of nothingness and seeing an oasis over here and trying to go to that and being like, well, what is that? Okay, well, then I discovered, Ronit Bird and Brian Butterworth. But you're right, they're both out of England. Now, math is math, but the different track and approaches can be different. And I found that a lot of the stuff that was out there was helping me understand some neurodivergence that led me farther down the path of other neurodivergence and into this field, which now I love. And I was always very interested in the brain. It's so amazing and how it works and how it can work differently. So that really called to me. But then with my students, I could not find books for a teacher. What do I do? What am I supposed to know here? And I couldn't find things that were really applicable to what she was working on. So there were some things that were interesting intervention games. There were some, I will say, just me, but a lot of stuff I found, I was like, I don't understand the directions to this game. I don't know how I'm supposed to play this game, much less how I'm supposed to do it with this student and where are we supposed to go with this. And but that's not on their test Friday, so I'm not sure how this is going to help right now. So I was very surprised again at the lack in general and the lack from the US. And there were some fascinating studies from other parts of the world. I'm very glad that I read them and saw them, but I did think, okay, I'm quite sure we have enough qualified people in the US that we could be doing something that's applicable here. Where is it? And at the beginning of that journey, I was finishing a master's because now I knew I wanted to stick with that. Alt cert kind of gave me a taste of this. I wanted to stay with education. So I got my master's in applied learning and instruction. And then through the dyscalculia work, thought, okay, I really want to deep dive into here, and went on to get the Ed D in curriculum and instruction. Because for me, I thought we have to have a bridge between the research and the application and getting students through school. That really was my beacon to follow.
Yeah, I love that. I think as a teacher who, gen ed teacher, math teacher who lived through the Common Core evolution, for example, and like, okay, now we have all these standards at least, but like, what does that mean? And, just really, I think for me, like, because when I first started teaching, there, in 2005, right, there was like a textbook that they would hand me. I had that. I had my own experience. Like Google and the internet was like not really like the now there's like so many resources out there that it's almost too many, and you have to like know how to filter through and find the good ones. Back then, it was like, what do I have? Like textbooks from a whole shelf of math textbooks that I can like flip through that are basically all the same blah that I don't like. And so for me, it was a lot of trial and error of like figuring out and just being, to me, always really curious about how does a student understand something? What's the way in for them? Like, what's going to help them understand it? Is it a, do they need a story? Do they need a graph? Do they need a table of values? Do they need like an analogy? Like, what is it that they need to like kind of dive into Algebra One, for example? And I remember also as a teacher, like feeling totally ill-equipped to help with those remedial skills from elementary school because the high school training that I had, like, they don't teach you how to teach that. They teach you how to teach functions and equation solving. But like, then what happens when students come to you, dyscalculia or otherwise, who don't know, understand, don't have good number sense, don't understand the relationships of numbers and are, and don't know fractions, right? All the like gripes of the high school teacher. And just always, I think for me, the optimism that people can learn math and just believing in that, and that there we just haven't figured out a way. And that to me is really what was my beacon, and then kind of seeing how that worldview fit with the kind of what I was learning from like the neurodiversity perspective as I got further along in my like tutoring career and ultimately left the classroom to just really focus on the tutoring business. That to me like made sense. With I've met who are doing the same work. So yeah.
I think that you hit the nail on the head. So much of it is knowing what the student needs and then fitting in that piece for students who are older. I'm a huge fan of early intervention and early screening and diagnosis. And I think if we did more of that, really kindergarten through third grade, then maybe you and I could retire one day in the far future when today's fourth graders have gone all the way through. And maybe we'll do this on a future podcast too. I have an older student I work with, and for a lot of different reasons, he had not gone through elementary math, but he's very capable. So kind of jumping in with high school math and then going into fill in blanks. But he said, one thing that has always frustrated him was the materials being designed solely for younger students. And he said, I have a beard and a duck on my homework. I said, oh my gosh, if that, holy cow. So that piece for secondary teachers, either how do you go back and remediate these earlier things? What are some good ways to teach, especially quickly, so we can move on to today's topic? And then having resources that don't make people feel badly about themselves and their experience. So a lot to talk about. Okay, let's wrap up with, so let's say someone else is listening and they're at the beginning or kind of in the middle of their journey and they think they want to stick with dyscalculia. So What would we say back to them so they don't have quite the long journey that we did stumbling around in the dark? So, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts are one that you need to learn as many different ways to teach a topic as possible. And that could come from other dyscalculia experts, that could come from dyslexia experts. There are some, I know EduCalc has some amazing trainings out there. There are a few people who do trainings, but they don't have to come from that kind of specialist, but even just knowing as many different ways, because not every kid is the same. So it's not like I'm going to have this one way that I'm going to always do something with every kid, and being prepared kind of to have six different ways to explain subtraction, because not every kid is going to understand it the same way. So that's my like math advice. And then my second piece of advice is not about math at all, and that is to work on your mindset approaches, your relationship building approaches, because one of the things Dr. Wall and I have talked about when we've kind of talking about our experiences, how important that connection and that relationship building is for these students. And I'm sure we'll talk about that on another podcast, but that piece of it, of helping them navigate that their mental space about math, those two things to me are the most kind of salient, important things as you position yourself in this space, is having as many tools in your tool belt for whatever math topics it is that you're working on, and also really deeply understanding the like emotional, relational piece of the work, because it's way more about math. It's not just math that you deal with when you work with students like this. What
I
about you? What
absolutely
advice
agree.
would you give?
I would say thank you for the plug. EduCalc Learning does have a lot of training. That is something that is a passion of mine, to get more teachers feeling comfortable with this and more tutors and parents feeling comfortable with this and knowing what to do and how to do it effectively. But there are some other great ones too. I talk a lot about Dr. Schooner's work, and Katie Lord has some stuff out there. Those are US based, and I'm sure there are some others. So just make sure that when you're looking for training, it's at the grade level that you like. It's a delivery method that works for you. And check us all out. Most schools, your Title I funds are going to pay for a lot of this stuff. It doesn't have to be out of pocket. Do you need graduate credit? Are you just looking for something on your own? There are different options. So take a look. What I want people to look for is an expert who talks about research, that they're mentioning Butterworth and Zari, Dehane, that they're talking about Mazzocco. They're mentioning names that you can find on Google Scholar search. You don't have to read the article, but they're saying the right name. Don't get someone who their background is in all of this regular math PD, and they're not differentiating. That's not going to give you training that you want. So the more you look at those of us who talk about this, we're all using the same keywords because we know what we're talking about. So make sure you're seeing that elsewhere. And my other piece of advice to people would be, keep going. This is such rewarding work, and it's so incredibly vital. There's in one school, you might have a microcosm of five, maybe 10 students who truly have dyscalculia or are close enough that they're going to need some immediate help. Nationally, we've got about 5 million, and that's only in the K-12 sphere. It's not even touching the adult population who needs help. So we need people who are invested
Absolutely.
and passionate about it, and you're going to get back so much more than you're giving into it. I love doing it. So I would tell people, if you're in that journey, it is worth the journey. Keep going. And that does tie back into what you're saying about those relationships. You are going to make some great relationships. I'm sure you feel this too. In a selfish way, you get to feel really good about yourself as a person because you're making an impactful difference for another human being.
Well, and for me, I even see it goes beyond the human that you work with, right? Like the families talking to the parents about the impact that change has of Now this their kid is confident about learning math. Now they're much more confident in other areas of their life. The negativity around homework and math is,
Yes.
disappearing. The school avoidance is disappearing, right? Like all of these other like secondary and tertiary issues that are as a result of not getting the math support that they need. Like to me, like that's also really cool to watch that transformation happen. That's why I said it's more than math, right? This is so much more than whether or not you can add, subtract, multiply, divide, solve equations, right? This is life-changing work. And I don't say that like to be hyperbolic. And I also don't say it lightly. Like it legitimately is. And as Dr. Wallace said, it's super, super rewarding work.
I love this. I cannot thank you enough for talking with me about this today. I'm having a fantastic time. But so let's wrap up with how do people find you? How do they learn more about you? And how do they contact you?
Great. Thanks for that. So yes, again, Katie Walker, you can find me on LinkedIn, but probably the easiest way is to find our tutoring website, which is dyscalculiatutoring.com. Again, if you search, we usually show up there. And then we're on Instagram, dyscalculia_tutoring, posting. My social media person also has dyscalculia. She loves posting about all kinds of different neurodiversity. So there's lots of different content up there, not just dyscalculia. But all mathy and schooly. And then if you want to email me, my email is Katie, Katie, at freedommathematics.com. And you can find our information, contact information on our website as well. But that's if you want to email me directly.
That is super. And I follow you on Instagram. I'm Dr. Wall underscore MLD on there. And if you have questions for me or comments about the episode, you can find me at educalclearning.com or the DTRI.org. And all over the social media as well. And Katie, I'm going to wrap it up by saying thank you for being on What in the World is Dyscalculia, our podcast, and I hope that we do it again soon.
Thanks so much.